All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Oh, what's up?
David. Do you know?
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
What I'm...
The Muscle Man.
Mulberry Lee.
The Muscle Man.
Muscle Man?
The Muscle Man.
Look, let's get... whatever you have to talk about sounds right. Like it's important.
It is very important.
But it's not as important as the big question of the day.
Oh, I think it is the big question of the day.
Is it the big question?
It is the big question of the day.
Where is... Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
Middletown?
Middleton.
Middleton.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like I'm a Moulton, she's a Middleton.
She's a Moulton.
Yeah. We're basically the same.
Right.
I am Kate Middleton.
Right. Both beautiful British royals.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Clearly.
So let's just settle this so we can cross some things off our list. I mean, first, number one, I don't know where she is. So you can just cross me off the list. Do you know where she is?
Well, I mean, I was counting on you.
No, I mean,
we're a team.
I assumed.
I figured if I wasn't watching or you were.
I assumed you would have your eyes on the prize.
Well, it looks like Bob dropped the ball again.
Right. Well, you know who is hot on this trail is one our number one fan, Marley Madison.
Mm.
Yeah. Marley Bear is hot on the trail. She is convinced that Kate. Yeah. How did this go? Kate murdered the queen. And ran away with Harry's girlfriend. Is she Kate's married to Harry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Harry's married to Meghan. William. No,
William.
Kate's married to William. Kate's married to William. She's convinced that Kate murdered the queen and now is running away with William's girlfriend.
Mm, I heard a really good theory. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
It's going to take me a second to set this
up,
but I'll give you what I refer to as... the best theory. Hold on, let me.
It's what I refer to as the best theory.
Yeah. But I have to. This is a new phone. I gotta set this up for the first time.
Hard hitting news.
Yeah.
I know what happened to Kate Middleton. It's so obvious. I don't know how you guys aren't seeing this. The signs were all around us, but this photo solidified it for me. Because society is basically on fire.
That's the one with her kids.
Everything going on around us, and now she's gone. In other words, when the world needed her most. She vanished? That is right, this is no ordinary coma. Our girl has entered the Avatar state out of self-preservation. They are trying to tell us that she is the Avatar. Earth? Water? Fire? What does that leave us? Her ability to handle all the elements has always been evident. But she has a specific mastery when it comes to air. When they told us we were getting a new live-action Avatar The Last Airbender, they meant live-action. Now, I don't...
I think
they meant live action.
I appreciate. See, David, you're too modest.
Yeah.
You were over there acting like you don't know where she is. Well, maybe you don't know where she is, but you definitely know what happened to her as documented.
I know what's going on. She's in the Avatar state.
Right. You're in the loop.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know.
So kudos to you for managing that. The other hot news.
Yeah.
The hot news.
The hottest news.
Was Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
Not married to Harry.
Actually married to Prince Williams.
Prince Williams.
Williamson. Right?
I hope we have some like fans of the royal family that are like screaming right now.
You know that are like, ha-ha, they got their names wrong. Right. They're nothing.
Right. I'm secure in my superiority. I definitely know more than they do.
Americans don't love them as much as they say.
Did you know Meghan, what's her face,
Markle?
was a movie star?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cool for her. Okay, so anyway, the big news, Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
The second big news, which you and I were chatting about just a moment ago, was the Oscars.
The Oscars. So we're going to get into that.
Okay, but first news.
Let's get into the real news.
All right.
Real heavy hitting.
Hard-hitting journalism, as everyone expects from us.
Yeah. I think we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
That Disney was like, maybe we've made some mistakes.
We may have traveled down a bad road here.
No one can say for sure. Maybe Marvel's not as popular as it once was.
We have no way to know.
It's hard to tell. But we're going to take these decisions. And then they're like, oh, don't worry. Bob Iger came out and he said, we've canceled more things behind the scenes than you would ever know about.
Yeah.
As a result to change. Right. Because there's more things canceled than we'll ever know. But then a few days later, they said, hey, just in case you're wondering, Eternals 2 is currently on hold.
Ah.
So I know that you thought that movie, one of the worst performed, not the worst because that was Marvel's, one of the worst Marvel movies performing, was going to get a sequel. But it turns out it's on hold. Not canceled yet.
No.
However, Captain Marvel 3 or the Marvels 2 or whatever, that is canceled. And Ant-Man 4 also canceled. So, just so you know.
Well, you know it's not canceled.
What?
Venom.
Oh my gosh.
Not only is Venom
different.
Not only
don't
is Venom
mix them together. We're talking
canceled.
About two different things. That's from Spawn. That's not from Disney.
Venom has a release date in October of this year and a title. I think probably David's favorite part of this news story is the title.
Oh, no doubt.
The Last Dance. So is Michael Jordan going to make a cameo in this? They're going to name the movie after Michael Jordan. The famous documentary called The Last Dance. You didn't watch it.
Yeah, well, they might change the name to Venom's Can't Dance.
So Venom release, I know how much you disregard Venom. And I know that Venom's different from Marvel.
Yes.
But it was such an easy segue. And it was so much fun to report it right.
Right after.
Right after.
Yeah, because it is the other big news.
Right, and it makes David squirm.
You know what?
So these popular, we love Captain Marvel, we love Ant-Man, they're both canceled.
Yeah.
You know what's not?
Venom.
I mean, I'm just saying.
The Venomverse continues to haunt us.
I mean, what? Okay.
Well, it's Sony, and Sony says like, though our movies have been sucking, Venom, quote unquote, made money.
I do love Sony. I mean, I love working with Sony. They're a great studio. They're a good partner to the exhibition industry, but hopefully this Last Dance is the last dance.
If it makes money, I guarantee you it won't.
It seems like Tom Hardy's ready to move on. Did you get that vibe?
I think that's probably. Well, speaking is staying in
the Spider-Verse.
Right. Sam Raimi came out this week or last week between us recording, and he was like, he told someone on X that he was tweeting with, he said, hey, look, I want to do Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. Huh. And, like, Tobey Maguire wants to do it.
Yeah.
And we're both down, but it has to be the right time. And Kirsten Dunst said that she'd do it. Hayden Christensen Church is like, I'm getting a little old, but I'm in. Ugh. If you want me.
We talked about him the other week. We covered that the other week.
But I think it would be interesting to do another one, but don't act like no time has passed. Make it an older, because Tobey Maguire is pushing 50. Make it a close to 50-year-old Spider-Man.
So,
no, but I just think that would be much more interesting to have, like, he could be dealing with like his daughter, because in many stories they have a daughter who gets spider powers, or just like. It could be one of those things like, you know, it was out of the game for a long time and now he has a call back and he's not as young as he once was. There was talks that it would be a crossover with Andrew Garfield.
You're talking about the Rocky model, right? The way they did Rocky Balboa, they let Rocky age within the universe.
Right.
Yeah,
just let him age. And especially since like Kirsten Dunst wants to come back, like you've got the...
Yeah.
The whole crew kind of aging together.
Right.
I would be down for it is all I'm
saying. Also, I think the other reason to be down for it is you trust Sam Raimi. How do you say his last name?
Rami.
Sam, you trust him. I mean, he's made good movies. You know, he's a good director. You trust him with that product.
Yeah. It's not on the caliber of, like, the Marvel Spider-Mans, because it's a lot campier.
Right.
But his universe of Spider-Man movies is...
Was good.
And even having Tobey Maguire back for No Way Home was...
Yeah.
He was great.
How do you keep track of all those titles?
Well, the new ones always have home in them.
Right. I'm saying that's what I'm referencing. How do you keep track of... What was it? No Way Home, Across My Homecoming. Home, From Home, Homecoming... Ombaya.
Then Far From Home, because he goes on vacation.
Farfanugan.
And then No Way Home, because they have to get home.
Can't get back.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homeless.
That's the next one.
Speaking of universes.
What?
Speaking of universes.
What?
B to the U to the double double T. Double double T. Say what? Boogie in my butt. What?
Boogie in my butt.
You know what's going to happen? We're gonna execute the plan of dancing at your funeral, but I'm going to forget the lyrics. And I'm just going to be like, boogie.
And then there's going to be one person in the audience fuming. Those weren't the lyrics. He's rolling in his grave.
Be sobbing in the back row. Poor David. All he wanted. And David would be in the grave going, yeah, I figured.
We all saw it coming.
No way Penn can remember that. The fancy. What were the correct lyrics? What?
B to the U.
To the double double T.
Say, my butt fell off. What? My butt fell off. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna remember it, but I'm gonna get it wrong just to piss.
Yeah, you're gonna purposely misremember
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. Shady lady be throwing shit at me.
Wow.
Because she's definitely outliving
all of us. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, speaking of the universe.
Yeah.
It's just a double
what?
What?
I said, what?
Boogie in my butt? What?
Yeah. Boogie in my butt.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay.
David, speaking of the universe.
What?
Oh my god, I'm crying. Okay. David.
Yeah.
He's just staring at me. He's just sitting there with this fucking grin on his face. While I'm over here. I'm over here trying to work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get something done over here.
I'm just having a good time.
And okay, David.
Yeah.
Speaking of universe.
Okay.
Speaking of universe, you know what we love about IMAX?
Yeah.
We love everything about IMAX.
Oh, yeah.
IMAX's roots are in the documentaries, right? That's where they got started.
Oh, yeah.
Probably,
yeah.
You're old enough. You remember. Most of us remember. Before they started down the road with Spider-Man and Harry Potter, which were some of the early feature films that they used, that they did.
Oh, yeah.
They got their start with their proprietary format and their amazing presentations.
Going on the field trip.
Doing the field trip. You go to the Whitaker Center up in Harrisburg, and you see, a story about the space shuttle or underwater or oceanography or something. Well, it's been a bit. It's been a minute. But they are still... IMAX is still out there. They have not abandoned their roots. They are still out there making documentaries, and we have a new one coming up, 40 minutes long, because all their documentaries, they're so intense. I mean, they're so gorgeous and beautiful. Yeah. They're always like 35, 40, 45 minutes. So this one's 40 minutes long. It's called Deep Sky, and we're going to get it in on both of our IMAX locations on April 19th, narrated by Oscar Award winner Michelle Williams. Now, what I wanted to mention about I should just leave it there.
Yeah.
Because that little promotion I can give with a straight face.
Yeah.
Because that's just another beautiful IMAX documentary that, isn't it nice we're having another one?
What?
Right? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
But I was reading up on it. Mm. And the promotion that comes from IMAX, claims to answer the timeless, age-old question. They claim they're going to look so deep, billions of miles away into the sky, that they are going to be able to answer the age-old question, where did we come from?
Where did we go?
My butt fell off.
Where did we come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Right, yes. Yes. They're going to look through the telescope, and there's Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. Figured it out. Right there.
We answered the question. Now we know where he came from, and we know where he went. We got him on the telescope. The
next 35 minutes is just the song on loop.
You know what I think of when I think of Cotton Eye Joe? I think of Lancaster Barnstormers, which are now the Stormers.
Yeah, I didn't know they changed their name.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No. For reals?
Yeah, I'm 100. I'm dead ass
serious.
They're
just the Stormers.
They are now the Stormers.
Did you just say dead ass?
I'm DA.
You're. This is how we know this man loves his daughters. He's picked up on the slang.
Oh, yeah.
And he just casually used it.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Like I was going to follow.
Right.
I mean, I did.
Yeah.
Because I'm hip. But right. For those of you who didn't.
What?
Okay. All right. Continue. Yeah.
Dead ass. What that means for some of our older listeners.
You're right.
Just those two words. If somebody says that to you, what it means is that they're totally serious.
Right.
Right. So the Barnstormers have now changed their name officially. They've rebranded. Their logo, their name is now Stormers, and their logo is a bull, like with the horns.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we actually had a meeting today with the Stormers.
No way.
Yeah, actually, the guy sat right here in this chair.
In the chair that you're in.
The main man himself.
You're basically him.
I'm basically him. Yeah. He's a lot better looking.
Does he have the bull horns?
He was not wearing the bull horns, which was a disappointment to me. He was also wearing a different team's vest.
What?
Which I meant to ask him about that.
He's undercover.
Maybe.
He's like, nobody will know I'm Mr. Stormer.
I'm Mr. Stormer.
If I come in with my Dolphins jacket.
That's
on.
Mr. Stormer to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we, Penn Cinema and the Stormers are going to be working together this year.
Wow.
So you can look for lots of cross promotions and exciting giveaways and all that kind of stuff.
When are they going to ask us to guest?
Oh, my God.
Guest speak the game.
Guest speak the game?
Yeah.
Like cover the game?
Yeah.
Like,
like you and me.
Right.
Live. Up in the booth, live casting.
Color commentary.
The Stormers.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's got a number on his back.
Well, your wealth of sports knowledge would really come in handy.
Yeah.
And my depth of understanding of baseball would also come in handy.
And then I've been doing Cotton Eye Joe playing over and over again in the background.
That's how we got on the baseball thing.
Yeah.
Because all these Lancaster guys, you know, there's always like one guy on the team that likes the country, you know, identifies himself as like being a country guy.
Right.
You know, and so then they always play like the Cotton Eye Joe.
Mm.
And that's so now you're singing it. We're going to go see this IMAX movie.
Yeah.
We're going to put our little eyes in front of the telescope.
Where we all came from.
And we're going to see the age old question. Where did we come from? We all came from Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah. Wow.
Where did we come from? Where did we go?
I cannot wait
Cotton Eye
to
Joe.
Solve this mystery. That is 100% true.
I think it's a little much to promise.
For 40 minutes.
That this 40-minute film is going to resolve the question,
it's a three-minute song.
Well, that's why it's on loop.
Yeah.
Like you said.
40 minutes is a little long, right, honestly.
Right, yeah. right.
All right. Well, that's all the news.
Oh, my God. Thank God. I just went to the old school, just the double.
Yeah. The dab.
Yeah, the dab, because I'm still recovering from what?
Let's move into trailers.
This week, David, I think the last few weeks we've been a little struggling to pick our... I have a clear trailer of the week.
Oh, I do too.
It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I want you to know that I left about 10 trailers off.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I looked and I was like, some of them just started to kind of bleed together. And even though they were Lionsgate trailers and like they were coming to theater, I was like, these just look like trash.
Yeah. There's a trailer on here that the mental note that I made was awful movie, great title. Can you pick which one I thought that of?
Five Pounds of Pressure.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That was the last one I watched and I was like, I think it's just gonna be more of this. And it was.
So let's start with this. This is a movie that looks pretty bad. But I think so the reason why the name of the movie is called 5 Pounds of Pressure is because the story is about a guy shooting somebody, and he says it takes 5 pounds of pressure on your finger to pull the trigger.
Yeah, keep your aim straight.
Keep your aim straight, 5 pounds. So, I mean, the movie looks cheesy and, you know,
it's gratuitous. It's a dad who does a crime, yeah. goes to jail, gets out, and then finds out his son is might follow it on his path, and he's trying to stop it.
Yeah. And so I'm not recommending the movie or the trailer, but the title's, like, creative.
5 pounds of pressure.
Got an ad joke.
One of the big ones.
Yeah. There were a few big ones.
Is The Crow. A remake that they've been saying they've been making
yeah.
forever and ever and yeah. ever and ever. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, look, here's a trailer. And you're like, oh, wow, they did do
what?
That.
Yeah.
They weren't lying.
Right, right. Weird.
I've never been a fan of The Crow. Have
no,
you?
No.
Watching this trailer, I was like, well, nah.
David was like, well, my butt fell off.
Yeah, yeah. It happened again.
I don't know. Here's the thing. This movie looks great for its audience.
Right.
I'm not the audience, but if you're into like super bloody violence,
yeah,
this is the movie for you. Like the guy doesn't die and he pulls, you know, somebody stabs him through his entire body with a sword. Yeah. And then while he's laying on the curb, he pulls the sword the whole way through out of his chest and stands up and fights more bad guys.
Or like in the one scene, he's got the sword through him. And so he just backs into the guy behind
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Stabs him with the other side of the sword.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you're into that, like, yeah, I think the case could be made that this is going to be a really good movie.
It's probably going to do fine.
But it's not yeah. for me.
It looked like it was just there. The director said it's The Crow meets John Wick.
Yeah. Well, I think that's ambitious.
Yeah. And I think that it's more, it's too much for me. I agree. I think it's too much.
Yeah. I don't think it looks as the thing that makes John Wick so amazing is the character, the story in general, but the character is, sounds
suave.
It sounds funny to say this, but the character is relatable. He's a human yeah. being that you know, well, not of course
he started off being relatable.
Right. Yeah, but he's a person, you know what I mean, in a world that you can relate to. And of course it's fantasy and you can't really relate to him, but you can a little bit. This to me is almost, well, maybe it's not almost. This to me is more science fiction-y.
Yeah.
It's like blood and guts science fiction John Wick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on is Arcadian, which is the new Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah. April 12th. Only in theaters.
Yeah.
Doesn't say what studio it's from.
Shudder. It says at the beginning. Well, the one I watched, it said at the beginning. So, how do you feel about that?
So.
This looks like a are there monsters or what? Is it just people?
Are we men? Isn't that his quote? It's him and his two sons or two younger people, and they decide they're going to fight off these werewolves. And
so werewolves? Where'd you get the werewolves?
Some hairy bastard was the younger son. They showed a scene of him getting ready to stab him in the back.
Oh, it was the creature. Werewolf.
I'm sorry, Dave. I forgot. For just one second.
I
forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah,
because you talk to a regular person when there's a hairy monster and you say it was a werewolf, they go, oh, they have a mental enemy. You talk to David.
Yeah.
You better know. You're going to say something to a werewolf. It better be a friggin' werewolf.
Yeah.
Because there is lore and there is background right. and there are things. When you say werewolf, it means certain things.
Lycanthropy is a real problem.
I'm just saying. Okay. Right. So I take back what I said.
Yeah.
I meant to say some creature that had a hairy back.
Right.
Could be a werewolf.
Could be your Uncle Frank.
Could be Uncle Frank at the pool.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know. This movie looks cheesy. It looks like a paycheck movie for Nicolas Cage.
They're making a big deal about it, apparently. I saw several articles hyping it up.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the first I've ever heard of it, and it opens in a few weeks, so.
Right.
All right, on to a real movie.
Yeah, this next one here is another one I've been hearing a lot of hype about.
Yeah.
About
yep.
fathers and yep. sons and relating to mental... Yep.
Autism.
Autism. Yeah, I almost said... Yeah, autism. It looks touching.
Is it Wonder meets Rain Man?
Maybe.
There's elements of it. We'll just say
there's
that.
Elements of it.
This, the thing that stunned me
This movie's called Ezra, by the way.
The movie's called Ezra, stars Bobby Cannavale. The thing that stunned me about this movie, first of all, it looks excellent, looks really well made. Bobby's supposed to be amazing in it.
It's also got...
That's what I was getting ready to say. The thing that stuns me about this movie is every single small character that you see a glimpse of in the trailer is an A-lister in their own right.
Yeah.
Bobby De Niro, I'm blanking on. There were so many good...
You're pretty close with the De Niros, you just call him Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah. You know.
Not Robert like the rest
of
us.
Well, you call him Robert.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, he's a New Yorker like me.
So you get away with the Bobby.
Yeah, you call him Bobby.
Yeah, all right.
Bobby D. Bobby D, what's up?
Hero!
Bobby D is walking down the street, and I say, yo, Bobby D, what's up? And he goes, my butt fell off.
What?
I said, Bobby D, my butt fell off. And he went, what?
What? The De Niro's.
No, that's a true story.
Yeah, I believe it.
We were in Hell's Kitchen at the time.
Last weekend, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a couple weekends ago. I was in Memphis last weekend.
Oh, yes.
It's crazy. True. What's the matter with you?
Devil in town of Georgia.
Yeah, he's looking for a soul to steal. Right. He's in a bind. He was way behind.
Yeah.
He's willing to make a deal. When he saw a young guy sawing on the fiddle and playing a hot, he jumped up upon a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. Do you know Cotton Eye Joe?
but I know.
There's a whole verse in that song that a lot of people don't know.
It's the Cotton Eye Joe one.
The Cotton Eye Joe verse.
Yeah.
You know, where the devil tells the boy that was sawing on the fiddle and playing it hot, tells the boy, hey, I just went through this with Cotton Eye Joe. And he lost.
I was like, where'd you come from? Where'd you go?
Exactly. And that's where Cotton Eye Joe went when he was playing fiddle with the devil. That's the answer.
If anyone gets down to that, real business,
to that timeless question,
it's us. We're making up questions and we're answering. That's for sure.
Oh my God. All right. So listen, Bobby De Niro, Robert, Oscar winner, legend, acting Hollywood legend.
Right.
Robert De Niro co-stars in this movie as Bobby Cannavale's dad.
Right.
And every time they show another minor character in the trailer, it's some legendary. I'm sorry that I can't remember them all.
Well, it's so fast, and there's a lot of them.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this trailer looks great. Do yourself a favor and watch the trailer for Ezra. And I will definitely book this movie when Bleecker Street, my boy Ken, down at Bleecker Street. By the way, we have never gotten an email from one of the studios to podcast@penncinema.com.
I want an email from one of our Irish listeners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we threatened. We were supposed to talk in our Irish accents.
Why?
That's London shit.
Next time. Next one's my trailer of the week.
Easily. The Wild Robot from DreamWorks and Universal. This fall. This was easily my trailer week.
It's so pretty.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah.
Since we're comparing mashups, is this like Wall-E meets Bambi?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda.
It's very similar to there's this game called Overwatch, and Overwatch had they have a robot character with a little bird that follows it around, and they had a similar story about PTSD where the robot wakes up post-war and he's lost. He doesn't remember where he's supposed to go, and he's in the woods, and he befriends the animals, but then a woodpecker pecks on a thing that sounds like gunfire, and he goes into like just starts blasting away because he has like PTSD. And
oh, wow.
At the end, chooses to stay in the forest instead of join the war. But this reminded me a lot of that, but it also seems way deeper.
Yeah. This looks just beautiful. Seriously, The Wild Robot, do yourself a favor and watch this trailer.
So good, yeah.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
Next, we have the Inside Out trailer. Inside Out 2, trailer 2.
So really kind of like Inside Out 4.
Right.
2x2.
Well, the initial trailer we saw was like, what if the old people we knew, the old emotions,
right,
met the new teenage emotions after...
Because the character turns 13, the girl, the host.
And starts going through puberty.
Right.
But this one showed us a little bit more where... The new emotions totally take over, making the teenager like a whole new person.
Right.
Parents are like, yeah, I'm into that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it almost seems like the plot of the movie is the original emotions trying to, they're trapped in a jar or something.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find their way out.
Yeah.
They got to get saved. And I don't know. I think it looks cute. Whatever. This movie is going to be amazing. This is one of those movies that, like, you know it's going to be good regardless of the trailers.
Yeah.
The trailer was kind of, I liked the fact that the trailer showed you a little more of the little girl's life. You know, playing ice hockey and
making new friends.
Yeah, you kind of have to show that because it gives context to the emotions that she's feeling.
Right.
I don't know. I think it looks great.
Next up, we have Garfield Trailer 2. Shows a little bit more about the stories about, shows a little bit more of the humor. I have to say, I don't hate the voice as much in this one. But at the same time, I'm just like, this looks like a fine kids movie that I won't see. What's up? You're totally against this? It's not your classic. It doesn't feel like classic Garfield.
It does not feel like Garfield. And I feel like they are, he's supposed to be sarcastic. And then they put up a descriptor, a word on the screen that says how he's sarcastic or something. And then they show an example of him being sarcastic. And it's not even remotely funny.
Right. I didn't laugh at all.
No. And it's so disappointing because I almost feel like, I don't want to say this because people will think I'm trying to like, don't take this the wrong way. I almost feel like this is the politically correct Garfield, in which case there's no room for any of the humor. You know, and if you're going to make it politically correct and take out, you know, defang it, so to speak, then what's the fun in Garfield? You know, and I feel like, and I will go so far as to say, a good writer, a good writing team can write a good, funny Garfield without being obnoxious, you know, without being racist and misogynistic and all the, you know, the bad things. But because Garfield is not, I'm not saying Garfield is all that stuff, but some of the things in the world that we're more sensitive to nowadays than we weren't sensitive to in the 80s, you can still write a funny Garfield, you know, and I would imagine.
Right.
This is not a funny Garfield to me. Now, maybe what you could say, and maybe this is the case, is that they're saying this Garfield is for not just kids, but really young kids.
Hmm.
Like, is this movie going to be rated G?
I would imagine so.
You know, like, if that's the case, maybe okay. You know, maybe okay. Okay, maybe.
Maybe?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I just feel like it was...
Okay.
It was so... It just was painful.
Yeah.
For a fan, I'm a fan, Garfield.
Have you ever seen the Garfield? It has a fancy name, like Garfield without words or something.
I don't know.
And what it is they've taken the Garfield strip and taken out all of John's dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's just like super depressing. Like John will just walk in a panel, stare at Garfield, walk out like nothing. Like his life is empty. Yeah. He's got nothing to it because there's no dialogue.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if, and now that I'm talking this through, maybe that's the issue. Maybe I need to adjust my lens and consider this through the lens of a young kids movie. You know, and if that's what we're going for, then I take back all the things I said. And I would like to say that if that's what we're going for, then it's perfect. It looks great. If we're trying to appeal to a wider audience of like high school kids, doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, no way. Next up, we have a movie. Now, is this coming to theaters?
No.
But
we can talk about it anyway, because Anne Hathaway looks amazing in this movie.
Not just her acting chops.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, hello, let's talk about this movie. It's called The Idea of You. Anne Hathaway is Anne Hathaway being gorgeous, and then some boy band guy sees her, and he's like, whoa.
You're gorgeous.
She's a little bit older, but she gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then they start a relationship, but because he's so famous, it kind of...
It has a little vibe of Notting Hill.
Yeah. So it actually looks like a perfectly fine romantic comedy that I would have expected to come to theaters, but doesn't look like it is.
I made a little mental note. I'm going to try to do some research. If I can get this movie in Lititz, I will book it.
Okay, there you go.
Even though it's
an Amazon movie.
Have you noticed that I didn't call it anything? It's just a movie that happens.
Just a movie.
To be non-theatrically released.
You're becoming a bigger and bigger boy every day. You know?
I'm so proud.
Someday you'll get those suspenders.
Lastly, this movie looks, but
it's gonna be horrible.
But the intro is great. It's a picture of all these bad guys, and it says, "This summer, action has a new name." And then it zooms in on Grandma. You know, and the name of the movie is Thelma.
Yeah. So it's an old lady who, and it, I think the only part that really, really cracked me up about the trailer was, like, you know, the cool people walking away from an explosion.
Yeah.
There's like an explosion, yes. But her and the guy are really slow.
Right.
Like they're not walking in slow motion. It's right. Them regular, right. Regular speed.
Regular speed, but also super slow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't know. This movie has potential. Could be cute. I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't know if we're going to get it or not. But
okay. Like, yeah, it was. There wasn't much to it.
It had, but like, it could be potential. She was likable. She reminded me of my friend Julie's mom, Joycey.
Joycey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, both of us, we voted The Wild Robot as our trailer of the week.
Did we mention, and is there significance in your opinion, The Wild Robot is a DreamWorks joint?
It is, yeah.
So is this heralding in a golden age for DreamWorks? Or are they going to have a winner on their hands? It's been a minute
I think so.
Yeah.
They've been riding the wave of the Dragon Wave forever.
Yeah, and the Minions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Moving on, movie review this week. The movie was Bob Marley, One Love.
Love.
Penn, how did you feel about Bobulus Marleyus?
Bobulus Marleyus. Well, as the resident Bob Marley fan, it was hard for me to judge this movie. I will tell you right now, this is the best movie that's ever been made.
Yeah?
Ever.
Ever.
I will also say I don't come easily to that conclusion.
Mm.
I thought the performance of the songs was unbelievable. Very good.
Yeah.
You know, really respectful. It didn't feel like it was like a cover. It didn't feel like they were trying to be Bob Marley. There was just different enough that you felt like you know it was them, you know, but close enough to Bob Marley that it paid due respect, you know, and okay. It was, as a fan, I thought it was awesome. I don't know if I loved the movie as a movie. I liked how they handled, they didn't sort of waste any time with his troubled youth, although they repeatedly referred back to it through, you know, memories and stuff like that. So I liked how the movie kind of picked up at the beginning of the movie. The screen flashes a sentence that says, Bob Marley is the biggest star in Jamaica. You know, he's huge and, you know, et cetera. So that sort of sets you as the audience, like I read it, I'm like, oh. And then okay, so that sets me as the audience, it tells you like, okay, this movie's going to start when he's at his peak, you know, and then it sort of tells the story from there, which I thought was a very interesting, fresh way to do it, you know. You didn't have to be there all along the way, you know, and then they took you through key periods and flashbacks, which I thought was well done and good. So, yeah, I thought it was great. I really thoroughly enjoyed it and highly recommend it.
Wow. I did not watch this movie. And let me tell you, I had plenty of
opportunities. Let me tell you why.
I had plenty of opportunities to see this movie. And I'm sure it's good. And I'm sure that if I actually watched it, I'd like it. But every time I thought, I should go see this today. Do you know what I then thought immediately after that thought?
What?
That sure is a lot of reggae for today.
You don't like reggae?
I don't know if I have that much reggae in me.
Oh, my God, David. I am so embarrassed for you.
But the thing is, if reggae is playing, I don't actively dislike it. But then I never want to listen to it. I don't know what the deal is.
You have a mental block.
Yeah. I think if I had one person that was like, oh, I want to go see that, like, let's go.
Yeah, you would go.
I think it would have been a lot easier for me to see that. But Rolling Solo, I was just like, man, I'm good.
That's a lot of reggae.
That's a lot of reggae.
I love reggae.
For one day.
Because it's good music.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a lot of reggae.
Yeah, it is a lot of reggae.
Yeah.
No, it was cool. It was a great movie. And then at the end, as I was hoping, they did what a lot of biopics do.
Changed the story.
No, not at all. They showed, like, during the credits or maybe immediately before the credits, they showed real life footage of Bob Marley at some of his, you know, more high profile concerts and stuff like that. He died at a very young age from cancer, which was, you know, so tragic. But
speaking of Bob Marley, did you see the Eras tours on Disney Plus now?
I did. Holla.
Get yourself ready.
You know what's weird? I heard Taylor Swift is recording a new song. Something about her butt fell off.
What? Plagiarism.
Yeah. David, imagine. Oh, my God. This is so exciting. Imagine if Taylor Swift heard this podcast. First of all, let's just pause there.
End sentence.
End sentence.
Imagine if Taylor Swift heard this podcast. The end. No. Like, we don't even know.
What emotions would you feel if a reliable source sent you an email and was like, hey, by the way, I was on a plane with Taylor and she was listening to your podcast and she loved it. What would your immediate reaction be?
I'd be like, no freaking way.
What's up?
Did she know my song? Right. Did she heard it?
And then what would happen?
Does it have legs?
Then what would you be if they were like, and she wants to record My Butt Fell Off?
she wants to do backup vocals.
Right. She doesn't want to record it. She wants to do backup vocals. That makes even more sense.
Yeah.
Well, that checks out. Well, she did. Now, I'm not making this up. I swear to God, it's true. She did have Lisa Kudrow on stage to sing Smelly Cat at Taylor Swift's concert. She had Lisa Kudrow come from backstage with a guitar, and the two of them sang Smelly Cat, What Have They Been Feeding You? You think I'm making it
no.
True or false? Do you think I'm making that up?
I totally believe that.
Yeah, it's totally true. Just Google it on YouTube. Taylor Swift, Smelly Cat, you'll see it.
Who's tube?
Youstube.
Yeah. All right, well, that's One Love, Bob Marley story. Best movie Penn's ever seen of all time.
Yeah, and I've seen a movie since then.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, it's saying a lot.
That is saying a whole lot. All right, let's move on to the Oscars, which also happened while we were away. Are you surprised by some of these?
No.
I was.
There was one surprise for me.
Yeah, I had one big surprise. So let's go over...
The not surprise was the freaking grocery cart full of Oscars that Oppenheimer took home.
Oh my gosh.
Rightly so though, right?
Yeah.
You have any problem with any of those awards?
No. Best picture, best director, best actor, supporting actor, film editing, cinematography, and original score.
Amazing.
Boom.
And I have no problem with any of those.
No.
If they had given Oppenheimer best actress, I would have had a problem with that. Yeah. And I think Lily from the Western, what was the Western called?
Oh.
The Scorsese movie. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of my afternoon.
You're such a jerk. See, David, that's why nobody likes you.
I heard from a reliable source.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily, I could argue the case that she deserved Best Actress, but I would have, if I was a member of the Academy, I would have voted for Emma Stone to get Best Actress, and I'll tell you why. Lily's performance in Flower Moon was unbelievable. It was amazing.
Right.
But with all due respect, I've seen that performance before.
Yes. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Like, right? Any well-versed actress, not...
Right.
You could have found someone else to do just as good of a job.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying, like, you've seen that performance before in other movies. Emma Stone was amazing in Poor Things, and I've never seen that before.
Right.
I've never seen, I mean, that dance sequence is something you're not going to forget anytime soon.
Right.
Just that one scene alone. Like, it was so physical, and the range of, you know, the beginning of the movie, how her character develops. And, you know, so by the time you get to the end of the movie, she's a completely different character.
Yeah.
And you have gone along with her on the entire development of her character. And she has brought you along with that so that, you know, all of a sudden you're at the end of the movie.
You feel the growth.
Right. I mean, it was incredible. So that was why I was happy that Emma Stone won Best Actress.
Poor Things raked it up too. Best actress, these are all the things that I would have expected it to win: makeup and hairstyling, production design and costume design. Because boy, were those like the big things of that movie that made that movie.
I could have given production design to Oppenheimer.
Really?
No.
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 I think sets and stuff.
No.
Yeah. Like.
No. You're right. No. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Best Supporting Actress went to Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, which I'm okay with. I think that she did an amazing job in that movie.
I think I would have voted for Florence Pugh.
Really?
Yeah.
What was her movie that she was?
She was the girlfriend in Oppenheimer.
She's not... considering screen time.
First of all, considering screen time, Divine won... Or was better deserving. And also, I'm not saying that I have a problem with this, with her winning this. I'm not like objecting. Right. I'm not objecting. So good for you. You deserved it. Well earned, well deserved. I'm just saying, if I was in a category, I thought Florence Pugh's range was amazing.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. And all, well, yeah.
I mean, I agree that, well, it's only because the role had her more emotional.
It was such a small role.
Yeah, but it was so tiny.
Yeah. Okay.
In comparison. Best Adapted Screenplay went to American Fiction, which I really love that movie.
What were some other... Do you remember any of the other choices for that?
I don't.
Probably Oppenheimer was one of them.
Probably.
Because that was taken from a book.
I think it was, yeah. I think Barbie was as well.
Well, I was pleased that American Fiction won just because... I don't know how to judge this category, but yeah. I loved that movie. You know what I mean? So I was just like, oh, cool, they got an Oscar.
Best Visual Effects went to Godzilla Minus One.
Easy.
Which was the first Oscar not only nomination but win for the Godzilla franchise. And some people argued that I guess Kong Skull Island had visual effects, but technically not. This was like the Japanese franchise. So anyway, best animated film was The Boy and the Heron, which in any other year I would have been super passionate about winning. Congratulations to Hayao Miyazaki on one of his last films, aka not his last film, because it's never his last film. But in the same year that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or Across the Spider-Verse came out, man, I don't know. I bet Across the Spider-Verse would have won if it hadn't been such a drastic cliffhanger ending.
Mm.
Because that, you know, I saw that movie so many times in the theater, and every time there was people, that's it, what? And they were like upset at the movie for ending so abruptly.
I mean, I think you make a valid point, but I will say I don't think anything stood a chance against The Boy and the Heron.
Really?
I mean, that was a masterpiece.
Yeah, it was.
That was an absolute masterpiece. And I think the reason why Across Spider-Verse didn't win is because kind of what I said about Lily, like, we've seen it before.
I guess you're right.
No disrespect to it. I mean, it was incredible and good that it got nominated.
See,
and
you say that, but to me, the Boy and the Heron is, I've seen it before.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm right. I like the Ghibli films.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
So maybe did it win because it sort of, would you say that it broke through for Ghibli this year?
Yeah.
I mean, film to reach a really wide audience?
No, because Spirited Away.
Yeah, you're right.
Won a ton of Oscars.
Interesting. I don't know what to say then.
Yeah, but that was a while ago.
But this is, again, you're splitting hairs. Like, either one of them would have been worthy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for our you know, amazing Oscar coverage.
I thought that was great. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being incredibly serious.
Yeah, I thought it was
never
great.
Never made a joke in my life. So. Moving on, we've got some feedback. We're going to pick up the speed here a little bit. We got listener feedback. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, the best way to do that is to send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com.
Looking at you, Taylor.
That's right. I'm waiting, Taylor. Come on.
Come on, TS. And also, come on, Irish.
Come on, Irish. Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's freaking St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And you can't send us a note, podcast@penncinema.com.
We know there's like 12 of you.
Or there's one person.
Or there's one person
downloading 12, from 12 devices.
Yeah, 12
in which case, that makes us want to hear from you even more.
Yeah, please.
Tell us what you're up to.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. First note we got this week is from our favorite local veterinarian.
Yeah.
Dr. Steed. Doctor. You know, he comes from the Spideyverse.
Yeah.
He doesn't like people to know that. And he never told me that before, but I put it together. I'll read his note and then you tell me what you think.
No, I know why.
Why?
I mean, the bottom half of him is a horse.
Oh.
You didn't notice the steed part of...
No, see, that's too easy, David. You can do better than that. That's too easy. I'm sure he's heard that joke his whole life.
The centaur veterinarian?
Yeah. I'm going to read his note.
Bonus points to Top 10 Sarah if she photoshops him as a centaur and puts it up in just to see how long it takes him to
find. We are better than that. Here's what he wrote. And then you tell me why I'm saying that I am unmasking him as a member of the Spider-Verse. Mm. Okay, I'll read his note,
and you
tell me what tipped me off. Okay. First of all, it's one of the nicest notes we've ever received. So this tells me...
I read this three times looking for the joke.
Right. I was like... You know how some guys get drunk, and then they're like, later in the night, they're like, I love you, man.
I love you, man.
I think Dr. Steed threw back a few and got on his internet.
The
gas for like,
the dogs was leaking a little bit. Right. So
Dr. Steed writes in, I would recommend your show to anyone who needs to smile or get put in a better mood. I'm not proud to say, I don't listen quite as often as Top 10 Sarah, but they are colleagues, by the way. I don't listen quite as often as Top 10 Sarah, but I did finish this week's entire episode. Sidebar, wow, that in and of itself is impressive.
Wow.
Have we ever had anyone else listen to an entire show before?
this might be the first time.
This might be. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, he goes on to say, keep up the great work. David, I might even be inspired to read Dune. Wow.
Whoa.
And then he concludes with this little tagline. He signs off, your friendly local neighborhood veterinarian.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what tipped me off.
Yeah.
He's never revealed that to us before, but I feel like he's communicating secretly.
You would have thought the bottom half being a horse would set you off, but...
You know, you tell someone you're a veterinarian, they immediately think of cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you're a big animal doctor, you're working on horses and cows. But you know what else needs tender love and care?
What's that?
Spiders.
Am
I wrong? David, am I wrong?
No, you're right in so many ways. In so many ways.
There's only one person.
There's correctness.
That signs their note. Your friendly local neighborhood veterinarian.
Yeah.
And that's Spider-Man.
And Dr. Steed. Right. Next, we heard from our good friend. You might know her.
Oh, wrong one.
What in the world is going on?
Wrong one.
Let's play the right music.
Yeah, play the right music.
Yeah.
I'm making this my ringtone.
Every time.
I'm going to make Drew listen to it every time I get a text.
I can't answer.
I'm going to let it ring.
The whole time. Drew's going to hate you so bad. Frodo writes in, she says, and we talked about this, so you know what our thoughts is. The trailer for the Wild Robot was so pretty. Mm. And I think it was a good trailer as well. I didn't get a sense that the whole movie's narrative arc was fully exposed, and the premise looks very charming, and the vibes are immaculate. Mm. This trailer looks like the movie has atmosphere, and I love atmosphere. And the music really got to me, but that's mainly because of IZ's Somewhere Over the Rainbow / What a Wonderful World cover, which is awesome.
Mm, we didn't really mention cool. that, but that was awesome.
Yeah. That one is a personal favorite. It still got to me, though, and I love robots. The movie looks cool and fun. Apparently, it's based on a book series. I'm not sure that I've heard of it before. I think it's a trilogy. When I looked up the trailer, the first thing that came up was the books.
I'm going to read these books.
I don't believe that. Also, I saw the Inside Out 2 trailer, and it looks about what I'd expect. I loved the first one, and I'm intrigued. It hasn't exactly hooked me, but I don't have anything bad to say about the trailer. I'm a little above neutral about it, with a side of hopeful because of the original. Penn, read these books, Frodo.
That's at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
It must have that part got clipped.
I didn't put that in on your side.
Right, on my side.
I kept that for mine.
Just a pen read these books.
I didn't want it to be.
I'm glad she said that and she didn't say, like, for Christ's sake, pick up a damn book.
Yeah.
Read a book.
Read a book.
For once
read
in your life.
Read a book. Read a book.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think you've learned from what happened with Dune? Nothing good comes from reading a book. All you're going to do is go read this book, get excited for the release of The Good Robot. Mm. Or what's it called? The Wild Robot. And then you're going to watch a movie and you're going to be like, oh, the ending was nothing
I
like the book.
I wish I would have not known.
Yeah. All right. I'm kidding, but I am tempted. I'm going to look into those books just because I like the trailer that much. Mm-hmm. And if it's you know, a foot and a half thick like Dune, then I'm not going to read it.
It looks pretty thin. there was three of them that I saw.
I'm operating, David, on like a fourth grade reading level.
Right, yeah.
And every year that I get older, my grade level drops. My willingness.
Your willingness. Right? Yeah.
A couple more years, it's going to need to be picture books only.
Somebody has to read the picture book to you. Yeah.
Right. They're going to have to play the pictures so fast, it's like watching a movie.
Car.
Right.
He's going to go zoom, zoom. Next, we got the Yoder boat.
Oh, my God. We got this one from Ayo.
Ayo.
Ayo. The Yoder boat writes in, hello, good sirs.
Hello.
It's almost like he wishes he was British.
Well met, son. Well met.
Hello, good sirs. My friend, which I'm assuming is one of us.
I don't know. He says it's good friend.
Do you know a lot of British folks?
I mean, I know most of the British.
Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Through my Middleton connection.
Right. Middletown, I believe it is.
Middletown. Yeah.
Hello, good sirs. My friend told me I should direct my opinions to this email address. And since David is the Dune prodigy, let me look that up. That's a big word. I thought I would share my response to the podcast discussion. I'm no expert. In fact, the first time I heard of Dune was when my good friend said, David is all hyped up about this upcoming movie. You got to see it. My opinions on pacing, action scenes, and timeline jumps. The movie, this is an interesting, he made this comment to me immediately after watching the movie, and I think it holds up even over time. I'm curious, we're both curious to hear what you think of this next paragraph. The movie felt like Fellowship of the Ring with long buildup and then shit happens quickly. I can see how non-Dune fans could find that slow at first, but if one were to be a Dune fan, I don't think there would be an issue. You love to just sit in that world. It's like Fellowship of the Ring for Lord of the Ring fans. You buy that analogy, David?
I do. And I think I thought the movie, it happens too fast, personally.
But even at the end, I remember you saying that about the last third of the movie, but did you think the beginning two-thirds was correctly paced?
Yeah, I mean, considering you're starting in the middle of the story and not the beginning of a story. Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. But I agree with what he's saying.
Yeah, okay.
But I almost think that he's understating it, is what I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
He goes on to write, the action scenes, I loved the short or implied action scenes. I sometimes think the excessive action scenes ruin the scene. Penn and I saw Zone of Interest, and we didn't need to see the concentration camp for the movie to be powerful. In fact, it was more powerful to let our imaginations run with it. I feel like this was Daniel Angle. You know there's going to be a lot of fighting. Let me show you shots, but move on. I thought the transition to Zendaya and the Fremen charging out of the sand was incredible. The momentum was building. Another gut punch. You agree with that assessment of the action?
Yeah, and it's kind of written like that, too, because the whole idea is the book spends all this time building up domino effects.
Okay.
And that's what it's teaching you. If this thing happens, then this will happen. And everyone's aware. And it's how do you stop the domino effects, or how do you jump a step?
Right.
And a lot of it is the implied danger or the implied win to a fight is almost enough to just win.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of happens at the end of Dune is they come in, they do a little bit of fighting, but just the fact that they're like, all right, everyone stop what you're doing or we'll do this one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Timeline jumps. This is kind of similar to what you just commented on, but if you recall, I had an issue with he was training and then all of a sudden it cuts to him fighting.
Yeah.
Right, I had issue with that. So he writes, timeline jumps, specifically Penn's issue with the desert training and jump. I watched it twice. By the way, this is a guy, Yoder Boat, who saw the movie at the podcast screening.
Yeah.
And then came back 2 days later to watch it in IMAX.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is a guy who, you know, he's earned his right. I have an opinion about this. I watch it twice, and you pick up on the second viewing that the score carries you through that entire scene. We don't need him to doing This is my favorite sentence. We don't need to see him doing some Jedi apprentice box jumps. It's a great sentence. Mm-hmm. The way the director transitions from that scene to learning the desert to starting to attack the spice chips and turning the narrative is all on one score. It's beautifully done. Last comment. I always appreciate a dark protagonist. I was getting Danny Targaryen vibes from Paul. Makes the story more believable, makes you question the characters. And then he signs off, keep up the great work, wankers.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So that he touched on very the end, one of the things that I didn't like about the movie, he said he got Danny Targaryen vibes from Paul, which is that Paul meant good and then got bad. The idea that Paul is not a hero, that part is correct. The movie made him out to be a psychopath. But that's not what happens in the book. He's a prisoner of the movement.
Would you call, and there's a genuine question.
Yeah.
Would you call him a reluctant hero in the book?
He doesn't want to do this thing at all.
But he does what he has to do.
He does what he has to do, and then it gets out of his control.
Gotcha.
It's like kind of how the Crusades were in a way.
Okay.
And that's actually pretty much what the analogy is.
Okay.
That it started off as like, we want this thing, but then 300 steps down, you have some guy killing another guy to get the results.
Yeah.
Instead of talking him into it type of thing.
All right. Well, anyway, that was a great note.
Yeah.
Appreciate the email. podcast@penncinema.com if you want to comment on Bob Marley, One Love.
Yeah.
Or if you want to comment on Dune. Dune is still our number one movie.
Nice.
Kung Fu Panda is a close second.
Yeah.
Next week, I expect them to both drop behind Ghostbusters.
I think globally, Panda took over for a week, and then they were saying Dune should come back. Anyway.
Well, Dune, more people came to see Kung Fu Panda.
Right.
But Dune won the box office because on the strength of the IMAX and premium large formats.
Right.
So, but anyway, it's a great time to be alive. We got great movies. This week, it's interesting. There's no major releases, but I bumped into one of our favorite regulars, Rita, who I don't think listens to the show, but she's one of the best moviegoers you've ever met. And she was just coming out of One Life, which she enjoyed. I think it was One Life. Maybe she was seeing something else. Oh, no, she was coming out of Arthur the King. But she told me she saw earlier in the day that movie we watched a trailer for called Perfect Days, where the Japanese guy, he's like a toilet cleaner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She said it was one of the best movies she'd seen in years.
Really?
So we have One Life, which is that Anthony Hopkins movie. We have Arthur the King, which is Mark Wahlberg family content. And we have Love Lies Bleeding, the Kristen Stewart wrestling thriller, which Goonies Jason said is really good.
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
And we have Perfect Days. So we have a wide, we got Dune, we got Kung Fu Panda, we got the big ones. But then next week we'll clear all the decks for Ghostbusters.
Cool. All right, we're going to skip what are you watching, what are you doing, because many people may not know this, but I'm actively watching Penn get more and more sick across the table.
I'm fine. Fine, I'm watching Kevin James stand up, I'm watching The Furies, and I'm watching The Gentlemen.
Okay, and I'm rereading The Expanse books. I'm on book 2, and I rewatched Loki, which was great. but let's move on to next week. We're going to review Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and if you want to support the show, you heard at the top of the show how much we're both struggling with the disappearance of Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
Fine. We would really appreciate some people to write in and set us straight.
Tell us where they know she is.
Where is she and what's your theory?
Be definitive.
Right. No, none of this speculation. Yeah. We don't want guesses.
Right.
We want answers.
Right.
So, by God, we want answers.
But say you don't know where Kate Middleton is.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Right.
But if you don't.
Right.
You can just tell a friend about the show.
Tell a friend how much you enjoy listening to the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Yeah, and emailing us at podcast@penncinema.com. All right, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's okay.